Hiya, Lou. Jump in.
Oh, nice ride, Becky. Liking your new Vauxhall. Good price.
It was actually, Lou. Just took it for a test drive and got £500 off straight away. Can you believe it?
Right. That explains the tiara.
Yes, a bit of bling. Why not? I just jumped in and got more.
Oh, I can see that, Bex.
I can see that.
Jump in and get more at Vauxhall. Our test drive offer gives you an extra £500 off Corsa, Adam, New Astra and other selected models registered by the 18th of December at participating retailers. Exclusions and T's and C's apply.
With the gods as our witnesses, let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
Best ever.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face! Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face!
You're serious?
Ah!
You're serious?
You didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face! Ah! You don't scare me! We're fucking...
Greetings, Five fans, to another edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, episode number 41 here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, as well as co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana. And every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, we have the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with our host David Avila, co-host Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself. And you can find me on Twitter at sdfights.com. And this is In the Square Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of everything to do with boxing for the last week. And with that said, we have some news, we have some notes, fight results, and the upcoming calendar. So let's get started. The WBA has finally decided the future of the heavyweight division for their organization, with the number 3-ranked Lucas Brown to take on the number 5-ranked Shannon Briggs for the quote-unquote regular title before or on December 31st. The winner must defend against number 6 and mandatory challenger Fresno Kendo in 120 days from their title fight. The WBA also stated they have issued a special permission for former champion Vladimir Klitschko to face IBF champ Anthony Joshua for the super version of their title in 2017. So the WBA going back a little bit on their word, they had stated, they had actually put out some statements saying that they would try to move away from their interim and their super titles. And here we have them doing a regular title and then a super title. Usually all the guys that have the super title in the WBA are guys that have defended their regular title 5 times or more, and then they get elevated to a super title. So I was kind of curious of how they were trying to get away with it, and it actually went into the rules of the WBA, and it actually states in the rules that they could come up with special circumstances to allow a super title fight to go on. Obviously, they are doing this for Vladimir Klitschko and the IBF champion Anthony Joshua, and if everything goes good with Joshua on December 10th, when he will be facing Eric Molina, and Vladimir Klitschko when he comes back from his injury, then it should be expected that they're going to face each other for that super title. Eric Gomez, president of Golden Boy Promotions, announced that he's expecting for former WBC interim 140-pound champion Lucas Matisse of Argentina to come back to the ring in early 2017. Matisse suffered an eye injury in his last fight, a loss to former WBC 140-pound champion Victor Postol, and has been very careful in coming back prematurely because of the eye issue. Gomez said he is training but not sparring and is expected to come back in March or April. Matisse will be coming back in the welterweight division. It was rumored he was contemplating retirement but now is ready to get back in the ring. We have been hearing about this for quite some time. You know, there was reports coming from Argentina that, you know, that he had lost his love for the sport and he was thinking of hanging up the gloves. But it looks like he has traveled to the United States a couple times and taking meetings with Eric Gomez and other guys from Golden Boy Promotion. It looks like he's ready to come back. I'm kind of happy because of that. I like Lucas Matisse. I think he's a good fighter. He's an exciting fighter. I mean, obviously, he lacks in a little bit of defense, maybe in some ability and some talent, but he always puts on good fights. So I hope he comes back soon and he comes back to do something in the welterweight division. Sadly, in Arnulfo Obando, trainer of WBC super flyweight champion Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, was declared brain dead on Sunday night in Nicaragua. Obando suffered a stroke early last week, and although it was first thought he was going through a spell of low blood pressure, but once he lost consciousness, he was rushed to a hospital in the capital city, Managua. He underwent a surgery last Wednesday and was in a medically induced coma until Sunday night, when he was pronounced dead. He was 53 years old. May he rest in peace. Top Rank has signed their youngest fighter in the history of their company, 16-year-old lightweight Gabriel Flores Jr. Flores Jr., who was born in Guadalajara but grew up in Stockton, California, leaves an amateur record of 91 wins and only 7 losses. 12 national titles, ranked number 1 in the world in his division. He's made the USA national team in 2015 and 16, and he has been ranked in the number 1 in the U.S. in his division since he was 11 years old. No word when he will make his debut, but I would imagine that he is going to be making his debut in Mexico, since, you know, it's very hard to find a state. I think Louisiana or something like that would allow less than 18-year-old to make his debut. I think that's where Dusty Harrison Gonzalez or Hernandez, whatever his name is, made his debut before he was 18 years old. But I don't think, other than Louisiana, there's no other state in the union that would allow a minor to make their pro debut. But in Mexico, it fluctuates. Some places do it at 15, like Canelo Alvarez did out there in Jalisco, or at 16. So at 16, this Gabriel Flores Jr. could actually make his pro debut in Mexico. So that's what is expected. Probably Top Rank is going to send them over with Sanfer and have the fight done there. A press conference will be held this Thursday to officially announce the world title fight between Terrence Bud Crawford and highly ranked John Molina Jr. on HBO. The press conference will be held in Omaha, Nebraska, where the fight will be held. The fight was made after Saul Canelo Alvarez injured his right hand in his last fight against Leon Smith and let go of the date. Gennady Golovkin took it over, but a fight against Daniel Jacobs could not be secured, and now the date went to Terrence Crawford, and the fight has been set and made official and will be announced that way on Thursday. And that brings us to the end of our hooks and notes section, and we will go to our fight results. All right, on Friday, November 4th, from the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, California, Golden Boy Promotions on Estrella TV gave us their last fight card. Actually, no, they're going to have another fight card in December. But this one had Manuel Avila scoring a split decision over Jose Ramirez in a scheduled 10-rounder in the featherweight division. Scores were 99-98 two times for Manuel Avila and 95-93 for Ramirez. While in the semi-main event, super bantamweight Emilio Sanchez scored a unanimous decision over Diul Olguin. Scores there were 80-72, 79-73, and 77-75. On the same night, from the Omega Products International in Corona, California, Banner Promotions on Showtime gave us Taras Celestio scoring a unanimous decision over Jaime Herrera in a scheduled 10-rounder in the welterweight division for the WBO-NABO title. Scores there were 96-93 two times and 95-94. When the semi-main event, Stevens Bujaj lost a unanimous decision to Konstantin Bejenaru in a scheduled 10-rounder for the vacant WBC International and Continental Americas titles. Scores there were 97-92 three-time. Bejenaru, despite winning the fight, was down in the fifth, and Bujaj was deducted a point for hitting during a break in the ninth. Same night, Friday night, from Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, Top Rank gave us on Unimas Andy Vences scoring a technical decision against Texas Casey Ramos, and That way, he captured the vacant WBC Continental America's Super Featherweight title in a scheduled 10-rounder. The fight was stopped after the ninth round. It was stopped due to a cut under Ramos' left thigh caused by an accidental headbutt. They went to the scorecards, and Andy Vences took the win with scores of 87-84, 86-85, and a wide 88-83. While in the semi-main event, Jesse Hart stopped Andrew Hernandez with a technical knockout in the third round of a scheduled 10 for the vacant NABF, WBO, NABO, and USBA super middleweight titles. Moving on to Saturday, November 5th, from the MBS Arena in Brandenburg, Germany, Tyrone Zieg stopped in the 12th and final round Giovanni De Caroli for the WBA 168-pounder. So we have a new champion in the super middleweight division for the WBA, and his name is Tyrone Zieg. He's currently undefeated. From Los Mochis, Mexico, the Polideportivo Centenario, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa, gave us Neri Sagian scoring a disqualification win in the third round over Filipino Roseki Cristobal in a scheduled 10-rounder. Cristobal was disqualified for repeated headbutts, while Felipe Orocuta scored a third-round TKO over Efrain Perez, also in a scheduled 10-rounder. And finally, from the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, in a top-ranked distributed pay-per-view, we had the man of the hour, the Senator, Filipino Manny Pacquiao, capturing his ninth title in his career with the unanimous decision win over Jesse Vargas. The title was the WBO welterweight title. Scores there were 118-109 two times and 114-113. Vargas was down in the second round, while Jesse Magdaleno, undefeated, scored a unanimous decision over veteran Nonito Donaire, and that way captured the WBO 122-pound title. Scores there were 118 to 110 and 116 to 112 two times. Oscar Valdez defended his WBO featherweight title for the first time against Hiroshi Osawa, his mandatory challenger from Japan. The stoppage occurred in the seventh round, while Osawa was down in the fourth. And finally, Zhu Ximin captured his first world title of his career, grabbing the vacant WBO flyweight title with the unanimous decision over Prasitsak Mini Pacquiao Fat Prom. Scores there were 120-107 two times and 119-108. Go back to the fights and talk about them a little bit. Nonito Naire, I think he might have gotten to the end of his run. You know, he was a champion at 115, 118, 122, 126. But I think Father Time finally caught up with him. I think he's not the same explosive guy that we saw in the lower weight divisions. And in this fight, Jesse Magdaleno was able to beat him to the punch throughout the fight and win the fight. I think it was a pretty close fight. It was nowhere near that that 118-110. It was much, much closer to that. I actually had it a draw, but I don't see anything wrong with Jesse Magdaleno taking the win with scores of 116-112, or maybe even a little bit of a closer 115-113. But that 118-110 was pretty crazy. And as far as the main event, Manny Pacquiao, you know, was his explosive self. You know, obviously he's 37, 38 years old. He's not the same Manny Pacquiao of 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, but then he still has enough left in the tank to be able to beat a strong, in his prime, Jesse Vargas. And I believe that he is strong enough and quick enough and smart enough to beat a lot of other welterweights out there. And if he can't beat them, then he'll still give them a run for their money. I mean, maybe Kell Brook has the advantage. Maybe a Keith Thurman, because of his power, might have a little bit of advantage because of his size over Manny Pacquiao, but it won't be a walk in the park for any of those two guys or Danny Garcia in that division against Senator Manny Pacquiao. The bigger story, or probably what seemed like a bigger story at one point on Saturday night, was the fact that Floyd Mayweather Jr. and his daughter were sitting at ringside. It was Bob Arum at the post-fight press conference announced that Floyd Mayweather asked if he could attend the fight card and was issued a credential. Then later, Manny Pacquiao said that he had invited him to the fight. So what does the presence of Floyd Mayweather Jr. at the fight card do? Well, it opens up the door again to a possible rematch between them and starts getting everybody to talk about a possible rematch, despite Floyd Mayweather Jr. being retired. He's been retired since September 2015. And that's what Bob Arum said at the post-fight press conference, that as far as they are concerned, Floyd Mayweather is retired. But now, today, on Monday, when we're recording the Squared Circle for the Leave It in the Ring Network, Bob Arum has actually stated that, you know, there is no talks, but that they're about 75% close to a deal. I guess he means that if there was a deal, maybe the numbers that they have discussed or the terms that they have discussed will get the fight 75% almost done. So very interesting, very interesting. Everybody's expecting this fight to happen perhaps in 2017. And if it does, then what does that do to the boxing panorama? I mean, obviously, Floyd Mayweather Jr. has always, especially in the last 5, 6, 7 years, or when he had his deal with Showtime, really liked fighting on those Mexican big pay-per-view dates, May 5th or Cinco de Mayo or September 16th or around that date for Mexican Independence Day. So does he, if he does come back against Manny Pacquiao, does he make the fight in those dates? I believe May might be too soon, but September 16th. And if so, then what does that happen to a possible Saul Canelo Alvarez Gennady Golovkin fight for that same date? There's no way that that fight can compete with Floyd Mayweather Jr. against Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, we all know that that, you know, we feel, a lot of people in the boxing world feel, that this, the first fight between them in May of 2015, has led us to this point where pay-per-view is not that strong, where the casual fan doesn't trust boxing anymore as far as the big fights like that. And, you know, but you would have to expect for the pay-per-view distributors, or HBO would rather go with the tried and true Floyd Mayweather Jr. against Manny Pacquiao, with their fight doing 4.4 million sales the first time at $100 a pop. Obviously, the second one is not going to sell as much, but even if it sells a third of those numbers, it'll still be one of the biggest pay-per-views in the history of the sport. So they would rather go with something that's tried and true in that sense than with the Saul Canelo Alvarez against Gennady Golovkin. I mean, Saul Canelo Alvarez in his last fight sold 300,000. Gennady Golovkin in his only pay-per-view event against David Lemieux some years ago, he did about 100,000. Obviously, I still believe that Saul Canelo Alvarez against Gennady Golovkin sells a little bit north of $1 million, but not if they have to compete against Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao. With that said, let's go to the audio of the post-fight press, post-fight interview conducted by none other than ESPN's Stephen A. Smith.
I feel happy because I'm trying every round. I'm trying to knock him down. I'm trying. That's why I'm always aggressive and but not careless.
When you when you put him down in the second round, did you feel that you had him? Were you ready to close in?
I'm very careful to go inside because I know he's going to counter me.
Your manager talked about how you didn't let your hands go enough, regardless of how great you looked, particularly over the last 6 rounds, that you could have done more. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I feel I can do more, but my aim every round is to knock him out.
Came out of retirement, you want to cut another championship. What's next for you? Do you have anybody in particular on your list?
Well, after this, I'm going back to the Philippines, go work in the Senate, and about the next fight, I'll talk to Bob.
There's a champion in the house at 140 pounds in Terrence Crawford. There's another champion who's retired in Floyd Money Mayweather. Who is on your mind? Who do you want to fight next?
I don't know. Whoever the people wants to fight me, I'm okay with that. I'm not picking any opponent or choosing any opponent. Whatever my promoter give it to me, then I will fight.
We all know that you're all about giving the people what they want. Who do you want?
Anybody in 147.
Anybody?
Yes.
Will you move down to 140 to fight Terrence Crawford?
That's not a problem. That's good for me. Better.
Thank you very much. Manny Pacquiao.
Everybody. And there you have it. Manny Pacquiao not really calling anybody out. They ask him about Floyd Mayweather Jr. They ask him about Terrence Crawford, and he does what he does best and not answer and just say that he would talk to Bob and fight whoever Bob Arum, his promoter, wants him to face. So with that said, that brings us to the end of our fight results, and now we move on to our upcoming calendar. Saturday, November 12th from Tepic, Nayarit, Mexico, we have Jose Argumedo going against Jose Antonio Jimenez for the IBF minimum weight title, 105 pounds, while from Monte Carlo, Monaco on HBO, we have heavyweight Luis Ortiz facing Malik Scott for the vacant WBA Intercontinental Heavyweight title in a scheduled 12-rounder. This marks the first fight that Luis Ortiz will be fighting under the Matchroom Boxing banner. That will be the fight televised by the HBO. But also on the same card, Jamie McDonald will take on Liborio Solis for the WBA bantamweight title, while Jason Sosa faces Steven Smith for the WBA super featherweight title. And finally, on this second Saturday of November, the November that we have been covering for, from the Lyakuda Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, PBC's King's Promotion and Promociones del Pueblo gives us on Spike TV and on Mexican mega channel Televisa, Danny Garcia facing Samuel Vargas in a non-title fight in a scheduled 10-rounder at welterweight, while Javier Fortuna of the Dominican Republic faces Omar Douglas in a 10-rounder at lightweight. And we have come to the end of this, the 41st edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Before we go, let me give you a quick rundown of everything that you can see. I mean, not see, but hear, listen to on the Leave It in the Ring Network. We have every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. Every Tuesday, you have this show, In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less recap of everything that has to do with boxing for the week. Every Wednesday, our flagship show at 6 p.m. Pacific, Leave It in the Week with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya. And every other Thursday, it's the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with Mr. David Avila, former fighter Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, Felipe León. And our next show is actually set for November 17th, and you could catch that at 7 p.m. Pacific here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. So without further ado, we will see you next week.